Well, hi there, everybody. We're going to be taking some time this morning to hear some testimony. And I know that, as you've probably gathered, the theme is distinctly feminine this morning. So I was going to apologize to the men, but actually I'm not, because I think that it's really important to hear God's heart for the feminine soul and the feminine heart, and that is what you're going to hear shared this morning through the testimony of girls. And I think there's nothing also more powerful than just hearing stories of how God is at work in the lives of one another. So I really hope this morning, at the start of this morning, that what is shared this morning will encourage you, that it will stir you, and that it will challenge you. And so for those of you that might not know, the Colour Conference is a conference that's been running for over 20 years now. It's now become a global conference in different destinations across the world. We've been taking a group down there for many years now as a church. And really, the vision and the mandate of Colour has always remained the same. It is to place value on women. And it is really, I suppose, about women understanding that they are important and precious to God, that they are close to his heart, and that they have value, and that they have worth, and that they have dignity, and that they have something very special and unique to offer this world. And so it's always an amazing environment to be in. I think the girls will echo that. It's an extremely creative and musical environment, so every one of your senses is kind of inspired as you enter the conference arena. And Hillsong go to great lengths to create such a special environment so that you come away feeling inspired. And the theme of this year's conference was the language, really, that they kind of wrapped around all of the messages that were shared was be found in the field. And last year, the theme was about being found, which means really about allowing ourselves to be found by God. And this year specifically, it was about choosing to be found in the field. And the field really representing the places and the spaces that we find ourselves. We've heard different language, but the same message shared this morning in the video about frontline. The field, if you like, is our frontline. These are the kind of places that we are and the spheres where we have influence over others. And really being found in your field is not about kind of hiding in your field. It's about choosing to be standing tall in your field. It's about understanding your significance in that place. And it's about trusting God, listening to him, and being attentive to the people and the places that you are. And so this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to hear a little bit from each of these girls about the fields that they find themselves in and about what God is doing in these spaces. So before we start, can we just clap and encourage the girls? Because I know it's nerve-wracking. Thank you. It's never easy sharing what God's doing because there's a vulnerability in it, isn't there, in being open and real. But I'm grateful that you have all agreed to come up here. Otherwise, it would be me on my own. So we're going to start this morning with Andrea. Hi, Andrea. Are you on?
Always good to start up like that.
So, Andrea, I just want to ask you, just that first things first, I mean, you've got a busy job. You're a mum, so things are pretty full on for you at home, but you choose to take holiday and time out and arrange childcare and all those things so that you can be in the Colour environment. You've done this for a number of years. So firstly, I just want to ask, was it worth it?
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. There's lots of reasons why I go, but the main three is firstly to meet Jesus, because every time I go, I do in a different way every time. Secondly, it's part of my year where I grow and deepen that relationship with him. There's always a message. There's numerous messages usually. And thirdly is to understand more my relationship with him and equip myself even further into that.
Yeah.
And this year it was also for the peanut butter milkshakes.
We have to say that peanut butter milkshakes played a really big part of our weekend. You'd be amazed how many you consume in 2.5 days.
Yeah. Especially on your waistline.
No, you look great. So Let me ask you, you know, working as a manager, as you do, of a big department in a charitable trust where you've got responsibility over people, can I ask you, like, what does it look like for you in your field at the moment? Like, what are the challenges for you in that space?
So I have a national role, so I travel up and down the country, which is a challenge in itself. But there is, moving forward, an opportunity for me to become a head of my department, though I am already. It's just expanding. And this is a challenge for me because it will bring across a finance team of auditors, and I am not finance-based, though I handle my own budget for my department. They have a different angle that they audit from. So I've given this a lot of thought and prayed into this with God, because it will bring older people into my team than myself, male older people into my team, and that's quite a challenge when they've come from a banking background and have been doing their job role for years. And God just reminded me that I'd already been equipped, really. I've been in the youth team now for a long time. And then Shannon came along, and she taught us the Jesus strategy for ministry, which is win, build and equip, which I'm sure you've heard the language around that. But I apply that in my workplace, in my field. And
that's great. So you're taking a kind of discipleship strategy and applying it in your field.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And also it's just trying to be counterintuitive to my culture at work, because my culture is looking at every situation has potential, but they don't look at the potential in people. And so building those relationships and foundations with these new people will then give me that chance to win, to give them something that they don't even realise they're doing, really, and then to build on that and give them the opportunity to see the potential in everybody else. Because auditors aren't welcomed in the workplace, so we have to make people feel that we value them
as people, not just necessarily performing a function or a role. Yeah, because sometimes, you know, if people in the workplace carry a certain title, it can be really intimidating. That's the truth, because you kind of almost hear the title before you see the person. And I think what's really amazing about the message of colour is that Jesus sees you. He sees you, he sees your heart. And no matter what you do or don't do, or title you have or not, there is value in you. And so what you're doing, Andrea, is actually placing value on your work team.
Yeah, and all their gifts and talents, actually. They've all got them and they're all diverse, and getting them to embrace each other's gifts is really important.
Brilliant. So it's an example of kind of changing culture in the workplace.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. So another of the kind of sort of themes, and, you know, as the speakers shared at Colour this year, you know, each one brought something slightly different to the platform, but really kind of enlarging and just deepening this idea of being in your field and standing tall in your field, but also recognising that, you know, sometimes it can be hard in that space. Like, sometimes we might be in a field, for example, that we don't want to be in. We might be in a season where we're perhaps feeling disillusioned or disappointed. We might be looking at someone else's field and thinking we'd rather be in theirs than we would in ours. This is the reality of life. And one of the things that they spoke about is actually how do we cultivate an inner strength to actually just remain in our field where we're planted. And so, like, Andrea, like, how do you keep the path and stay on track in the places and the spaces that God has put you?
Okay, so the first answer would be prayer. Prayer is a thing that never wavers through my day, through my time. I'd love to say that I open my Bible every single day and my word for the day, and I'm not reading 5 days of word for the day. Sometimes that happens. But prayer is always there. It's the thing that I rely on to get me through every single part of my day, whether it's going into a meeting, driving through the traffic to get home on time for Charles, or just patience, really. Yeah, prayer is my thing.
So staying connected to God.
Yeah.
That's good.
Just stay in the path is because Jesus loves me. And definitely over this weekend, but just even more in a deepening is he validates who I am, even in my weaknesses. Mm. And I love that. I love that. Why would I not want that? Why would I not stay on that path? He constantly blesses me, even when I don't realise he's doing it. I'm not a person that reflects until after the fact. I'm a bit of a bull in a china shop sometimes, to be honest. But in times of reflection, I realise he's done so much in my life and continues to do it. And he supports me. He supports me financially is the most massive thing that I can pull on constantly throughout since I gave my life to him. Being a single parent and just being blessed in the different walks in my work life. But he supports me to sponsor a child in Brazil, a 10-year-old girl that we're blessed that Charles chose to invest in our family and grow our family.
That's great.
We support a single mum with three children. I never really looked at how much God was in that before. Mm. But he enables me to help that family through providing a home for them. And financially support me to do that. I don't even know how that happens all the time. And also in my workplace, he gives me those spaces to plant those seeds, whether they're fruitful or not. On the really hard days, I just I draw on those. Mm. And also to be part of my children's journey and the youth. I am blessed to be in this youth group and watch them grow, but also be in my children's journey to give them their faith and see where that takes them. That's what makes me stay the path.
That's great. I think it's really important, you know, in seasons where we perhaps feel like we don't want to be here. You know, who can relate to that? Who can relate to sometimes just feeling a bit disillusioned and disappointed? And like it's hard work. There's a struggle. There's like an internal struggle. And I think the message, loud and clear, and we all know it really, is to just keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. And it's, you know, often our eyes wander, don't they? Our eyes wander, our hearts wander, we wander. You know, we look everywhere but to Jesus, who is the sustainer of our faith. And so that's brilliant to hear, Andrea, some of the ways in which you keep your eyes fixed and choose to see the things that he is doing in your life and focus on those. That's awesome. Thank you. So next up we have Shannon. I'm not sure there are many people in here who don't know Shannon, but she's our fellow loud American in the church.
Amen.
And,
yeah.
We all need one. For those of you that might not know Shannon, Shannon is our youth worker here at the People's Church. So she works with our youth team and young people. And she also works not only with our young people within the church, but she works also with young people outside of these walls and spaces. She's a new governor of Banbury Academy, which is a new role for her and another field.
And I love it.
So, Shannon, knowing you the way I do, I know that working with young people isn't just a job. It's not just a job. It's not just something that you do and turn up and have to do. It's like a life's passion and a calling for you. So can you just, you know, just explain a little bit to us about like your field, please?
Sure. I'm so nervous up here, and I'm actually afraid I'm going to just slip right off this stool. So if I do, I'm sorry. Glenn, you might need to catch me. So the field, yes. I wanted to reflect before that last year. It was in September, and I was walking down Parsons Street. Stefan was away for a leadership thing somewhere, but coming back home later, and I was meeting Tim and Mao. And it wasn't like this holy moment. I wasn't like, Lord, speak to me. I wasn't like, just give me revelation. I was just walking kind of my ordinary day, walking to meet my friends, and I just felt the Spirit of God just say, I need to tell you something. And I'm like, walking down Parsons Street, like, okay. And I just really sensed in my spirit, he's like, when it comes to the young people, and this was the language in my spirit, that I've made you responsible for the young people that are there, yes, but I've made you responsible for the young people that aren't there yet. They're not even at the table. They don't even know about the house. And when I talk about the house, I'm talking about the church. Fast forward to probably a couple of weeks ago, and this verse supported that. And I also think when the Spirit puts something in your heart, sometimes it's meant for us to share. Sometimes it's meant for us to wait. Sometimes if it's a prophetic word, we have to sit with it and we have to allow God to continue to speak. And I think when he's wanting to speak to us and say something to us for us to get it, he repeats his messages, he repeats his words, and actually they go deeper the more that he, time goes on. But this is the verse, well, part of it. I'm not gonna read the whole chapter. It says, "My people, hear my teaching, listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. He has decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children." And this was the verse that pierced me. "So the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born." Even the children yet to be born. "Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds and would keep his commands. But even the children not yet born." And at first when I read it, I thought, oh, is that like a generational thing? Is that like grandma, mom, daughter, granddaughter? But just, I think I was seeing it like this, and God was wanting to show me it's like this. It's like the young people, the children that aren't spiritually born yet. And that really just, that mission and that mandate is something that, it's like breathing to me. It really is. What was the question again? Sorry. This is what happens.
I was gonna really like politely just kind of sneak that back in there.
Sorry.
No. That leads us very nicely into the question, actually, Shan, which is, it's really about like describing what your field working with young people looks like. Because one of the messages of the conference was, you know, if we're going to be found in the fields and the spaces that God's put us, like we have to be attentive to them. That means we have to kind of look at the landscape of them, the cultural context of the places and the spaces that we are at, and seek to understand and to gain knowledge and understanding about them in order so that we can reach them with the gospel and the message of Jesus. And so actually, I know as a mum of young children, I know that the world has been changing dramatically. I mean, especially over the past number of years with social media and just the internet, just changing the landscape for our kids. And so, yeah, Shannon, just explain like what the world looks like for young people today.
Okay. So, in that verse, I'm going to get there. In that verse, in a different translation, it says to put your trust anew in God. And to me, looking at the world from when I studied, when I came over to this country 10 years ago, like Facebook was only just being started. And now we've got Facebook and we've got Snapchat and we've got Instagram and we're socially connected, globalization. We're more connected, humanity, than ever before. But we're also disconnected like never before in a different way, because when we're with one another, we're on our screens. We're not face to face. And so the cultural landscape, I think it's so important to understand. So I'm gonna talk about like different generations, and usually when you talk about them in stereotypes, they're not really positive. But I want it to be positive. I want us to understand our age group and what kind of, well, for young people, I guess, and what kind of shapes their world, so we know how to reach them. We can't reach them if we don't know the world that they're living in. So I'm gonna use the term Generation Z. That's a young person born, well, there's a bit of a debate about it. It's a young person born after the year 2000. Some would say 1996, some would say 2000. It's kind of in that five-year bracket. But if a young person doesn't remember 9/11, they would be considered a Generation Z. So these are the young people that we're working with in the church and outside of the church. One of the things that shapes their worldview and their life experience is the recession. So when I grew up, financial instability was never a question for me. It was always stable. And when that, when the recession hit, there was this financial instability and insecurity that kind of rocked. It rocked the world. And so the young people, they almost say that their eyes, they've been born and their eyes are wide open, that it's not always financially secure. But what that has birthed in them is this, they're very independent. They're very, very entrepreneurial. That's what we're seeing, which is amazing, because they want to be able to provide. They want to be able to provide. They want to be able to pave their own way because they don't want that to happen again. Another thing is, like for us, we would have gone to an encyclopedia to write our papers, where because of the access to YouTube, they don't have intermediaries. Is that the word? I can't even say the word. They don't have to go between someone to get information like we did. I would have to go to the librarian, where now they can just hop on YouTube or Google and they can find the information just like that. So they're learning a lot more than what we did much earlier in life. So that's the first reality. The second is Wi-Fi enabled. They'd say that Mallory and I's generation are the first digital natives, but I'm not sure I agree with that. When we were maybe teenage years, Facebook was introduced. Now there's Instagram, but our young people have phones attached to them. And that means they have the world attached to them. So they're growing older, younger, because they're exposed to stuff a lot earlier than what we were. And in some ways, that's good. And in some ways, it's not good. It's actually costly. So the Wi-Fi enabled YouTube, Instagram, with that, and if I'm going to just be real, yeah, okay, the rise of pornography, that's huge. That's massive in their generation. So then we see kind of in the workplaces, maybe a bit younger, but I think it's there, but it's more. It's like, well, the access to pornography, both girls and guys, and then the way that we see each other, and then our bodies are used as like objects, and we don't see people's faces, we only see their bodies. So you've got like Tinder, and it's like, okay, I'll see your face, and if I don't like it, I'll swipe left, and oh, if it looks okay, I'll maybe have a conversation with you. So that's the way they relate, which that's really hard. That's really hard to hear, isn't it? Mm-hmm. But this is the reality that they're living in. And a whole lot more. I'd say the next one is sexually fluid. Fluidity, is that the word? Mm-hmm. That there's a statistics that came out in this country that like 50% of the young people, half the young people don't, they wouldn't put themselves 100% homosexual or 100% heterosexual and bisexual. And we did a survey upstairs and we asked the young people to ask us any question they wanted to ask us. And when we compiled and analyzed what they came back with, the category that they had the most questions about was about sexuality and also gender. So we live in a time where Obama okayed gay marriage, so that's in the States. That impacts us globally. We also have Bruce Jenner, who's now Caitlyn Jenner. So there's this transgender journey that our young people are taking. This is the world they're living in. So,
yeah, and
there was one more.
One more.
Sorry. I get so passionate about this because I'm just like, these are our kids, and I love them all. The last one is post-Christian, which means that, okay. So, if you were to say, it's like I have to use my hands for this. So, if you have 25% on this side that are believers, and then 25% on this side that are secularist, if the 50% in the middle would be the squishy center. So these are people that haven't identified in the faith category. These are our young people. And they're growing up now in a time where Christianity and Christian value is no longer affirmed by culture. So in the 1960s, when evangelists would come, like Billy Graham, the culture was discipling. The values that were held in culture were discipling people into faith. They were. So when people arrived in the arena and they were offered an altar call, come to meet Jesus, they weren't starting at a 3. They were starting at an 8 because culture was affirming that message. The values, the biblical values, were still had a place in society and still shaped people's upbringing. But now, the way that culture is discipling people is that our kids are starting at like a 2 and a 3. They're actually discipling them the other way. So we have to accept this reality. When I'm in the schools and the young people, they have no idea of Jesus. When you say Christmas, presents. Easter, chocolate. Anything else? Nothing. And that's because they're not like trying to be like funny. That's because they genuinely don't know. So the times they're growing up is called post-Christian. Post-Christian-dom. And so this is the world, this is the reality that we've got to be alive to. And as a church, we've got to be able to address, we've got to be able to have those conversations, because if we don't, we have to have the conversations, we have to open the floor for these conversations, because if we don't, there's a missional implication for the next generation. And I believe that if the gospel can be planted in this generation that we're raising now, however that way, whatever the mechanism is, whatever the way to reach them, that's going to be the way that lives from the generation after the generation after the generation. Because now we have times where we can say generation this, generation that. But the world is moving so fast that I don't even know if we're going to be able to identify people in those categories anymore. Because that's how fast. So it's like, it's crazy and it's overwhelming, yes, but to me it's like, it's so important for us to understand this. But then it's, how do we bridge the gap?
Yeah, absolutely. I know that's a lot to take on board.
Sorry.
But I think this is the field that Shannon finds herself in, but not only Shannon and her team, I think the church has a responsibility to understand this field and its significance. I actually read recently in a book about Gen Z that this generation will be the most influential religious force on the earth, full stop. Yet it's a post-Christian culture and society. So as a church, actually, yeah, like we want to get the conversation started, because as a church, what we have to do is we have to get good at building the cultural bridges, walking over them, that we need to in order to reach our young people, because they are the future of the church. You know, young people are the future of the church. So that's really exciting. Thank you, Shannon, for that. So Mally, last but definitely not least, I want to ask you some questions this morning, and I know you've got something really exciting to share and to bring to the church this morning. Firstly, can I just ask you a little bit like about color, like basically, like what do you love about the color environment? Like, what's good about it?
Cool. So this was my fourth time at color, and every time I can't talk more highly about sisterhood. I actually woke up this morning and I was a bit weepy because I was like, oh, I'm missing getting ready with the girls. I have to get ready with a boy in the house. I was like, this is what it's about. It's about doing relationship with one another and doing each other's hair and getting coffee in between sessions. But in sessions, it's the most empowering thing you'll ever see. And there are women being talked to, and things that you wouldn't think you were going to get talked to about, you get spoken to about. And yeah, it is, I would say, worth the investment, because it is pricey, but what you get from it is it invaluable? I can't, yes, is that the
that
right
is
word?
The word? That is a word.
But yeah, it's worth it, and yeah. I can't talk any highly of it.
That's cool, we can move on. I know this morning specifically, actually what you want to share is something very close to your heart, and it's something that God has planted within you called Gather Our Girls. So this morning, can you just tell us what Gather Our Girls is and who it's for.
So Gather Our Girls is going to be a vlog series that is aimed at Gen Z, but actually it's for any girl. I think everything that we're talking about is relevant to any woman, girl of any age. I think Jesus, he wanted us all at the table, regardless of age, regardless of gender, regardless of money, wealth, intelligence, we were all welcome. So yeah, we're saying that it's aimed at Gen Z, it's because this is the world they're living in, as Shannon said. They're looking at videos online and we want them to be watching something positive. We want them to be empowered and to actually know that they've have a choice to make a change, and giving them a chance to make a change.
That's great. So for those of you that might not be as social media savvy, a vlog, I believe, is a video blog, yes? Okay, cool, because I'm not social media savvy either. A blog is a platform, an online platform in which you can write and just share thoughts, feelings, opinions, whatever. So this is the world that the young people are growing up in, and actually they're looking online, they're reading blogs, they're watching video blogs. And actually what God has planted in Mally's heart is actually to be on that platform, in that platform, speaking a message that is different to the culture and the messages that they're hearing from all other places. That's right, isn't it, Mal?
Yeah.
Cool. So just tell me a little bit where that idea came from initially.
Okay, so back in 2016, in October, I went along to a women's conference, not Colour, but another women's conference, and I went along not expecting to be expectant. I went along to go and help my stepmom on a jewellery stand that she'd just started. Another story. But anyway, while in worship, God spoke to me quite strongly, and he was like, "Mum, asking you to gather some girls." And I was like, I automatically went to think, we've got our youth upstairs, and I was like, there's a great number of boys upstairs, Lord, like, what about the boys? And he was like, I'm not asking you to gather the boys, I'm asking you to gather the girls. The boys will follow. So, if anyone's we got a word out there. So, yeah. And so, yeah, I went back home after a long day of it. But also, I want to say another bit of the story. 2 months prior to this women's conference, before I was even invited to go, these women had gathered together of this church. It was called Fleet Baptist Church. They'd gathered together and they'd prayed for me. And they handed me a letter full of images and scripture. And I hadn't even been invited yet. This is God totally at work. So I was handed the letter, and I just want to share a scripture with you. So it's Isaiah 54:2, and it says, "Enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide, do not hold back, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes." Now, I've unpacked this scripture a lot, and I honestly believe it's what you've got in your hands right now, what you've learnt, whatever gifting you've got, you give it to God. Whatever relationships you've made, friendships, family members, you use to your ability, you ask and you get, because God is in it. And yeah, so I went home and told my nearest and dearest, and then there's other little things that were put on other girls' hearts. And we just sat and decided that we were going to sit on it and we were going to pray about it and just wait. And so, jump forward to this year, and I think it was February. Yeah. There was a parents' meeting anyway, and Shannon had had a conversation with one of the parents of our youth, and she was like, "Well, do you think that we need to do these sort of video videoing Gus having these discussions, and she's like, yes, and you need to talk about this, this, and this. And it was everything that I had been journaling, every idea that we'd come up and been emailing. And it was just very godly and very timely, or as I called it, a God incident, not coincident. But it was time. So we started putting this plan into action, and it was very evident that me and Shannon do not have any photography or video skills or any technology skills except for social media, because we're both attached to our phone. But I just so happened to be working alongside two girls very closely on my team. One owns her own photography and videoing company, and the other one loves photography, and she's still in the baby stages of it. And I was so scared. I was so scared of asking them to even be a part of this journey, because they're not of faith. They don't come to church. And to ask them to step out of a box and go, hi, we want to do videos and we want to tell people about God. Yay. So, yeah. And they both turned around and they both said, we'd love to. And I honestly believe God is gathering women into this situation even before these videos are out. He's gathering girls with talents and gifting, and he's using them to build his kingdom. And that's before these videos are even made. He's already gathering women at a table. And yeah, it's exciting.
So on that note, can we just show the little trailer for Gather Our Girls to everybody? Please, thank you.
Why gather our girls? Girls have it hard. Girls have it really hard. Raising a daughter in the year 2000 versus raising them now, it's a completely different world. The world's changed. It's moved forward so fast that I think young people are trying to make sense of it. But I also think the parents are trying to make sense of it. I think the whole world actually is trying to make sense of this new reality that we're living in. I know statistically in the UK that anxiety is at an all-time high, with the girls in particular. Low self-esteem, low self-worth, this perfectionism standard that isn't true, it isn't right. It's like the perfect look, or the perfect body, or the perfect shape, or the perfect relationship, or the perfect bestie.
Nothing is Instagram filtered in real life. You just live it. And we have to stop comparing ourselves to everything that we see on media, because it's affected on that. It's okay to be authentic, to be you, and to be real.
Also need to start having conversations around what is real, because there's so many issues going on that I think we barely have nicked the surface. So that's the reason why we want to open up a space where young people can start to have an honest conversation about the things that really matter.
So I think what you can see from this morning, I think, is a theme. And that theme is very clearly that God cares about you. He cares about the field that you are in. He wants to find you there. He wants you to choose to be found there. And the reason he wants that is because he has plans and purposes for you in that space. Your life is significant. It's deeply significant. And I just want to say to you, to Mally, just thank you for responding to what God has planted in your heart. Thank you for being attentive to his voice. And not only that, I understand for you that it was overcoming lots of fears. I'm going to get emotional. This is why I don't have to choose empathy. Empathy chose me. I cry as soon as I start to feel. But I know that Mal had to overcome lots of internal struggles with fear to take a step of faith and to start to move forward with the stuff that God had planted. And so thank you, Mel, for that, because it's not about you and it's not even about us. It's for those girls out there who don't yet know the love of Jesus, and they're confused by all the voices that they're hearing around them, but they desperately need to know that they have a loving Father who loves them and who values them, and that they have worth and significance. And I just think this is really exciting. Don't you all agree? And so women, mums, daughters, get on board, get on social media and share this with as many people as you know, because there are girls out there who really just need to engage in this platform. So let's be really proactive at supporting it and sharing it and seeing this grow into something special and deeply significant for the kingdom. And I believe that's not going to be just about our area. I think we're going to watch the Holy Spirit breathe on this, and I believe it's going to go much further than we can even dream or imagine. So let's do that. So if I can just bring the service to a close and ask the band to come up. We're just going to have to move some stools and things like that. Thank you, girls. Thank you, Andrea and Shan and Mal. I know we've slightly overrun this morning, folks, so thank you for your patience with us and listening. It's been really great to share. But I just want to, as we close and the band lead us in worship, before we do that, I would like to pray for you. And I'd actually like to just invite you all to stand. And you might have been hearing this, and you might be kind of just thinking, you know, it's okay for these girls, like, they sound like they've got life kind of sorted. They sound like they've got it all together. They know what their field is. And you might be thinking, you know what? I don't even know what my field is. I have no idea what my field is. I have no idea if my life is significant there at all. And I feel really far from significant. Well, I want you to know that you are deeply significant to Jesus, and that he sees you, and that he's put you in those places. And I would like to pray for you this morning. Well, in fact, I'm going to ask Shannon to pray for you this morning. But if that's you, I'd like you to just have the courage to raise a hand while we all close our eyes, because God sees, and I believe that he wants to impart something special to you this morning. So